On second thought, aid to Egypt, it's not completely been frozen. Oh, my, oh, my. It's like a seesaw coming out of Washington. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney hanging out with you across this great nation. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to spend some time with Jeff Holtzman and go through the ins and outs of what the White House had to say today about Egypt. Apparently, it's not a done deal, as was previously reported. It was breaking news while we were on the air. And somehow, the wires were crossed. And the White House is saying, no, we have not had any kind of a meeting where we've said we're cutting off this aid at this point. And of course, it's aid to the military. We're talking about arms and that kind of stuff, and the military exercises are off at this point. But the money itself, the $1.5 billion that we normally pump out to Egypt for military reasons, that's not been frozen, according to the White House. In one way, you think about it, it's like, okay, well, wait a second. The people who decide, who make the laws, the Congress folks and senators, are out. They're gone. So there has been no vote on that. But this is really, part of this is the president's call. If they wanted to freeze it, if he wanted to throw out an executive order and freeze it, he could certainly do that. But that has not happened now at this point. So we'll talk more about that. A state of confusion. That's what we're living in. We're in the land of confusion. And this just proves it, because here we go again. Yes, no, what's happening? Yeah. For now, I guess, what I'm thinking is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue just doesn't want that out there, because they do not want to use that word. Coup. They refuse to say the word, because once that happens, and Mohamed Morsi is toppled in a coup, then they cannot go back on the aid thing. Can't do it. I mean, I think it first popped up out of the Daily Beast and the Washington Post that a senator and another administration source said that the money was suspended, the military aid, the weapons, that kind of stuff. But apparently the White House has decided to take that back. They say no decisions have been made on whether to cut or postpone any of it. They trotted out a spokesperson, Josh Ernst, who said that the reports that suggested the aid are not accurate. They're not accurate. He confirmed that the president was going to hold a cabinet meeting in the afternoon, which he did, to discuss Egypt aid, and that's it, and no changes have been decided. Thank you very much. Oof. We're also going to talk about the NSA and the confusion at the NSA. See, this goes along with the theme here. You get it, a little bit of a state of chaos, confusion. The NSA doesn't know the extent of the Edward Snowden data dump. In other words, because they're not sure of all the information, there's no way to accurately count that, to audit it. They're not sure how much the damage is, which is incredibly stunning to me. How do you run a secret agency, national? How do you run, you know, surveillance, national surveillance? How do you do that, the National Security Agency? How do you do that and not realize that you have time-sensitive material? You have things that you really wouldn't want to get out, and yet you have no way to know. There could have been plenty of other people that could have grabbed some secret files and released them previous to Ed Snowden. So, and what they're saying is it's poor data compartmentalization. That's what they're saying. It just was roaming all over the area. So, you know, people had remote access all over the place. So we don't have a way to audit this. That's probably, to me, the most alarming thing that I've heard about the NSA. So this could have been, any of this stuff could have been out there much ahead of the Snowden dump. Somebody else could have. So you have like an amateur spying kid that everyone was beating up. Oh, a high school dropout. And he's a contractor. But he obviously knew more than the people at the NSA. So you think of hackers. You think of people who have tried to hack in and steal that same information. Boy, they must have just missed narrowly. Because I think it would be pretty easy for them to go ahead and do that. If now, if nothing else, are the people awake that are supposed to be protecting the United States? You know, when you stand behind the defense that, okay, we're the NSA and we can't share everything because it's working, we're stopping the bad guys, geez, some of the threats that have happened, we've been able to do it. You have got to be able to own up to the fact that you don't know where all your information is. So I would say that it might be dumb luck, some of the stuff that's already happened. Scary. This is scary stuff. Both with the seesaw and the confusion over giving aid or not. And also with this NSA thing. Like I said, there's a little bit of a theme that's kicked off here right from the start of America Tonight. And we'll talk to Holtzman at the bottom of the hour about that very thing. Mixed in this entire show, Jane Velez Mitchell joins us. You might recognize her name from Headline News. And, of course, she pops up all over CNN and other shows, too, as well. But she does her own show on Headline News. She has a book out about Jodi Arias that really has some incredible information in it. Things that you didn't know before about the mind of this crazy woman who pretty much almost cut off the head of her boyfriend and left all the people around him stunned. So we'll talk to her in our second hour here on America Tonight. And then we have some other thrills and chills and things in between the usual fare, like a week in count and whatnot. And another thing that we'll throw at you, and we'll do this on the flip side here, some of the odds and ends. You know, the cost of the wildfires that I've been talking about in the West, about 11 of them, really more if they're named and they're in different areas. They're talking about, at this point, you're looking at a hefty bill. Think of the firemen that come from other areas to fight it. You're looking at a $1 billion bill for that. $1 billion. So see, there you go. There's that aid to Egypt that we're talking about, using it closer to home to fight the fires. And it makes sense because of just the high cost of this, the resources that you have to expend in Idaho, in New Mexico, in Colorado, in Oregon, in California. I mean, it's just been a really tough fire season. And it's taken a long time in some cases to put these fires out. 40 uncontained, active, and large wildfires all over the map, from Arizona to Washington State and Alaska. Do you know how many people have been sent out to fight those fires? I mean, this is a staggering number. 17,000 plus. I mean, that's everything. We're talking about hotshot crews on the ground, in the air. That's incredible. Of course, it's $1 billion. Because these fires, some of these fires have, as I said, continue to burn. All right, we're going to throw you little odds and ends coming up on the flip side. Hang with us. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually, you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Speaking of shooting, you know, we've talked about guards in schools, we've talked about teachers being armed, and we've had raging debates about anything to do with school safety, and Newtown, Connecticut especially brought that up again, but there have been many, many other things that have happened prior to that, but that was just so heinous and shocking and sickening, frankly, that that started the national conversation again, and you know how I feel about it. If I were a parent of a child, I would want them, in a school-age child, I would really want them to have a guard at the school. And I know when I was in high school, we did have two guards. I went to a big high school in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and they did have a guard. So you knew. It was a deterrent to me. You knew the guard was there, and you knew they were roaming. There was two of them. And if somebody was going to come in to the school and do something, I think the guard would have been able to, you know, would have been able to stop it. I don't think we felt vulnerable to that. Of course, it wasn't a popular era for people coming in and wreaking havoc in a school, shooting, you know, kids for whatever reason, whether it's an axe to grind about a previous job or whatever. That wasn't something you saw happen. Columbine, to me, really symbolized that and broke that open. Once Columbine happened, then the door sort of was, you know, in a very sad way, was kicked open for that happening in a couple of, a couple of other places. So the Atlanta metro area had the terror of another school shooting on Tuesday, but nobody killed. None of that happened. 20-year-old Michael Brandon, in the end, was in custody, fired an assault rifle at an elementary school. in a confrontation that forced the evacuation of, they say, 800-plus kids, and the cops returned fire. A school office worker said she talked to him into putting down his weapon, thank goodness. Of course, she wasn't armed, but she just talked him into doing that. And they have this system at the school, McNair School was the name of it, of requiring people who visit to be cleared and buzzed in. The gunman got in by slipping in behind someone who was authorized to enter, and that's how that happened. Luckily, the school clerk convinced him to put down the weapons and the ammunition. He said he was sorry for what he was doing. He was willing to die, is what he told her. I said, it's okay. We have situations. It's going to be okay in our lives. So she really talked him down out of that. The suspect wasn't injured, and he's undergoing police interrogation. The students were all accounted for. They were evacuated into a field behind the school and then reunited with parents at a nearby giant Walmart. So the television images, though, once again, if you flipped on the tube, you see a helicopter, students running out of the building, teachers, police, and just chaos. And who knows what could have happened here at the McNair Discovery Learning Academy. Could it have been another one of those horrible things? And the parents panicking, rushing, trying to get to the school, grandparents, whatever, you know, whoever could get to the school ran to the school. So, how about that? Luckily, he didn't, as I said, fire. But this is also the case of he gets in because he follows someone in behind them. He trails them. Which that happens a lot. Apartments, break-ins, that kind of stuff. Security gates. People are looking for that. He was looking for that and he found it. He found his way in because he trailed somebody. But it is scary. It's scary because it just raises the red flags again that this conversation about some teachers being armed, a principal being armed, administrator being armed, bulletproof glass, guards, whatever. I think at the very minimum, there should be a guard at the school. I really do. A guard at least adds comfort and somebody on the scene. By the time the police get there, unless they are down the street, how fast can they get there? Even if the station is pretty close by, you still have to take time, get in the car. Someone has an assault weapon and they've just gone off and they're just shooting people and shooting kids. You're not going to get there soon enough. You're just not. But somebody on the site who knows what to do, who can teach the teachers and the kids some safety, that would be great. At the very least, now you have to have some kind of safety drills. You know, we had fire drills. We never had drills of what if somebody breaks in, what if somebody throws a bomb in here, what if. We didn't play that game, but this, as I said before, is a different era than we live in now. I think the kids have to, I mean, it's a shame, you don't want to shatter the bubble, but they have to understand how to get out. They have to know this anyway, because we've seen with what happened in Oklahoma with the tornado, whatever the safety drills are, whatever they have to know how to do, I think it'd be better to add that to the whole thing of the fire drill along the same lines than to have kids in the dark. And I think more schools are doing that, so that's a good thing. And thank goodness for this administrator who was clear thinking, was able to talk him out of the tree so nothing happened. He could have shot her, could have ran down the hall. I mean, who knows ultimately how awful this could have been, but thank goodness it was one of those days that everything was somebody was smiling down, because that didn't happen this time. Nothing was discharged. Didn't happen. That's a good thing. But it's definitely a warning. And for that school, and they didn't have some of those systems in place, I guarantee they will figure out a way to get them in place, to get more of a warning, to be able to try to figure out how to shut somebody out that wants to come in with a gun, because it's just all too easy. In so many cases, just way too easy. And quickly, a side note here, because I've gotten three emails on this, since we have Mike Bonacorsi on and others to talk about finances and 401ks and do you have a pension? What happens when the market tanks? What happens? The S&P 500 snapped a four-day losing skid. It's been a couple of rough days on Wall Street. Some negative news and earnings have tanked things a little bit. But that snapped, at least, because it was trending in a really brutal direction. The Dow, too, the same thing with the Dow. All of that turned around just briefly. You know, it's legalized gambling. There's no doubt about it. We're all standing at the craps table, and we're praying for the right numbers to come up, but there's no way to 100% know those right numbers. But at least it was calmer. At least it was a little bit calmer. Both indexes, the Dow and the S&P, are still up 15% for the year, which is huge. J.C. Penney's, man, that boat, they cannot turn it around. A big loss for them, even worse than what was forecast. I mean, they have been struggling. They struggled when they hired the wrong person who decided to reinvent the wheel. Now they're trying to undo the damage of that. And that's what's happened. So their sales are off across the board from where they were, especially. I mean, when was the last time you walked into a JCPenney's? Anybody out there, are you shopping at a JCPenney's? Other stores are kicking them. Macy's, Nordstrom's, those kind of stores. Because you know what? They're sticking with the same thing. Whatever works, whatever discounts, whatever sales, whatever you want to call them, red tag, red tent, red elephants, doesn't matter. Whatever it is. And they decided they were going to change things up at JCPenney's, and that's, I think, what really, 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 really killed them. And that's the whole part of this stock market thing. It's about things such as earning reports. So a company that's supposed to be forecasted for a solid quarter, they're off, then sometimes your stocks are off as a result of that. So it's absolutely a gamble no matter what. But at least we saw the streak snap. The NASDAQ closed a little bit higher. That index has gained 19%. But overall, the Dow and the S&P up 15% for the year. So that's pretty darn good. Coming up, we're going to talk a little Washington. The Dolphins from four decades ago went to visit the president. Why? What happened with the NSA and the lack of a little bit of oversight? And how about Egypt? All that with Jeff Holtzman next on America Tonight.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Jeff Holtzman, the most important question. Michael Vick, now named as the quarterback for the Eagles. What do you think?
Well, I think Chip Kelly did make the right decision, because I just don't see how he could run that offense with anybody else on that roster aside from Michael Vick. And it should be an interesting year for Vick. He's got redemption out in front of him. He's setting his sights on that. And, of course, it all starts with a big Monday night contest here in D.C., so we'll be paying attention to that pretty closely.
Oh, no kidding. And so RG3, and we should tell everyone, of course, we're going to kick it around politically speaking in a second, but Jeff and I both like sports, and he roots for the Redskins, and I root for the Philadelphia Eagles, and as Jeff just said, they're taking each other on the Monday night game. RG3, he'll be back in action, and of course not doing that at all during the preseason, which I think was smart by Mike Shanahan, but Coach Shanahan could... in another way, have made a mistake, because what happens when he gets into the first game and he hasn't even been part of the scrimmages?
Well, I'm not too worried about that. These guys only play a couple of series anyway in the preseason. They don't even play the last game. I mean, I think that RG3, the rest, for his body is way more important than a couple of reps in the preseason. If you saw him in warm-ups last night, they played the Steelers last night, and he was sprinting, he was cutting. He was stopping and starting. So it looks like he's got all the physical capabilities that he had last year are coming back to him. The only thing we're worried about here in D.C. is that knee brace and how much that's going to affect his running, because after he put it on last year, he didn't have as much of a burst as he had without it. I mean, it's a bulky thing, but he's got to wear it. So he's going to be a slightly different player this year, but I think he will be healthy starting in week one. I think he will take the field against Philly. I think, that's the worst kept secret in D.C. right now, is that he will start in week one. I mean, the question is, can they design a game plan where they don't expose him to too many hits to his lower body? And that remains to be seen.
So let's jump into the politics of not sports, but the politics of Egypt. Last night we're on the air and breaking news. Oh, it was temporary that aid has been put on hold. But the White House is denying that they've cut aid to Egypt. What do you know about that?
Well, the White House responded to the report yesterday that you mentioned that, Pat Leahy, who's on the Senate Appropriations Committee, had said, or a spokesman for him, I should say, had said that the White House was cutting off its aid to Egypt. And that, of course, was a big story to a lot of people who are following this, because, the U.S. gives Egypt about $1.3 billion per year. To date, there's about $585 million that's been allocated to Egypt in the State Department's budget that has yet to be spent. And it's kind of interesting for many reasons. First off, because we're almost at the end of the fiscal year. You got to wonder, was that many money ever going to get spent? But the spokesman for Leahy said that the White House had decided to not spend it. Well, the White House today said otherwise. It says that they're evaluating whether or not they're going to send that aid over. They've, you know, already canceled the delivery of a series of F-16 fighter jets. They've canceled the military exercises with Egypt. That was something the president announced last week. And a spokesman for the president told us today that there has been no further decisions about whether to cut more aid. Now, the president did meet with his cabinet this afternoon. We haven't gotten a readout yet of that meeting, but, of course, that was the topic, discussing, you know, if they do cut aid, how do they do it? How do they make the announcement? Or maybe they don't do it. And I think privately, Kate, I don't think the White House wants to do it. I think, you know, they understand that foreign aid is unpopular in the U.S., but the reality is it's a small percentage of the overall budget. And I don't think it's really necessarily the money as much as it is, you know, keeping ties in Egypt, because if they are a strategic partner for the U.S. I don't think the U.S. necessarily wants to become an isolationist with respect to Egypt just quite yet, while the situation there is still unfolding.
There you go. So, again, we'll see the waiting game, what happens ultimately in the end. We've talked about this a ton on America Ton, as you can imagine. People have called the show to talk about the overwhelming debt that they have coming out of college and whatnot. So the president is on the road on Friday in Pennsylvania. He's going to talk about college affordability. Any glimpses into what you think he might say?
Well, I don't know specifically what the president's proposal is going to look like, but I can tell you one thing. The president has to lay out a plan that, A, can pass Congress, and that's going to be a tall order, but, B, really addresses, you know, skyrocketing college tuition costs. So something that focuses less on, you know, actual student loan rates, which is something we've been talking about for a year now, but Congress seems to have put that in the rearview mirror. But now it's on to the task of, you know, how do we get prices down and, you know, how do we help students, or do we make students, you know, help themselves? What sort of incentives and what sort of, you know, financial packages, you know, should the government be involved in? I think that's the question. I think that's something the president is going to address in his speech. Should be pretty interesting. He'll be speaking in Scranton, PA, which, of course, you know well. He'll be joined by Joe Biden, who grew up in the area. It should be interesting to see what he says. But I think, again, politically, he has to put out something that can at least get some sort of bipartisan consensus, because right now, you know, higher education reform isn't really even a priority in Congress. I mean, most of what you're hearing in Congress when they come back in September is, how do we deal with the debt ceiling? How do we deal with the budget? But, you know, within that, I mean, I think that college tuition really needs to be a key focus. If you look at the debt that's outstanding, the debt that's being held by current and former students, it's over $1 trillion. I think that's going to become the next bubble, and I'm not alone. There are many who agree. And, you know, so I think the question is, do you want to deal with it later in the form of possibly a huge bailout, or, you know, just a stagnant economy and people not being able to pay for things and buy things and the consumer market drying up, or do you want to deal with it now? And I think that's something the president's going to try to accomplish.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that is the next bubble, too, by the way. And you threw in Joe Biden and Scranton, the reference there. Just a quick aside, Joe Biden lately being quoted as kind of playing a little bit coy, but he wants to throw his name in the hat again to run for president. How many times is this guy going to run for president?
Well, how many times has he run? I know he's run at least twice.
And this will be three.
Well, I think he will run. I think, you know, I think what's going to happen, the way I see it, is that he and Hillary will both form exploratory committees. They'll both, you know, test the waters. They'll hit the key states and that sort of thing. And I think that however the polls shape up, you know, whichever candidate appears to have, you know, so-called momentum, I think the other candidate will bow out. I don't think they necessarily want to run a really dirty and intense campaign against each other in a primary. I think it's more or less, you know, whichever one looks like they're going to pull away and become the favorite heading into the primary, I think the other one drops out. That's just my prediction.
Yeah, it's just a lure. I mean, you've been around this now. You've been covering Washington for a few years. There's something, Jeff, about the lure of being the president, of wanting, you know, you get close to it, and I think the closer you get, the more you decide you want to run, whether you're Speaker of the House, you're the VP, you know, whatever it might be. So in one way, I guess, it's not necessarily that shocking, is it?
No, I mean, and Hillary obviously has been as close as you can get, being First Lady and then Secretary of State. Biden is Vice President, and he's pretty damn close. But I think the main reason why you'd want to run for president is because you get to play golf with Larry David. I think that's the overarching reason.
That's right. Imagine the inside scoop from Hollywood that he could give you and all those Seinfeld references. Are you kidding
me? And the president probably knows exactly how the next season of Curb Your Enthusiasm is going to end. So,
yes. Yeah, no kidding.
The job.
We started talking about football in the beginning of this, going back and forth. And the 72 Dolphins were at the White House today, but I didn't even realize this until I just read up on it, that three members of that team boycotted the event. Why did they decide to boycott?
Yeah, three guys who were actually offensive linemen on that 72 team decided not to go. And all three of them had different reasons, but they're all rooted in politics. They all made statements to the Sun Sentinel, which is a publication in Florida, essentially saying that they don't agree with President Obama and his politics, and therefore they felt the obligation to go. So it's kind of interesting because, you know, the president does these ceremonies with these championship teams numerous times throughout the year. And it really makes headlines when players decide not to show up. You know, of course, a couple years ago, Tim Thomas from the Bruins, remember, he didn't go with the Bruins after they won the Stanley Cup. And then last year, I didn't even know this until the other day, but Matt Burke, and I was at the Ravens ceremony, Matt Burke, who's one of the best offensive linemen on that team, decided not to go. He had an issue with the president's pro-choice stance. So for these guys, these three ex-Dolphins that didn't go, they weren't exactly specific about why they disagreed with the president. They just said they did, and they didn't go. And I guess they're right at the end of the day to refuse to go on that trip. But the way I see it is it's a pretty heavy honor to get recognized by the White House to have a ceremony. And I think that regardless of who's in office, I mean, I know personally I would go.
Yeah, I would too. There's just no way. Absolutely, I agree with you. All right, last one. This is really interesting, and you actually sent me a note and copied me the story on this. It was in the Tennessean, and it was Lamar Alexander wrote an op-ed piece saying he stays true to his conservative ideals, and what he says basically in the body of it is that, you know, that he wrote a letter suggesting that he retire with dignity. That's what some Tennesseans were saying, just to get out of the way, retire. And the reason is that they were saying there's too much compromise and bipartisanship. There are two big traits that he's famous for, and they're saying it's such a negative. Man, I got to say, good for Lamar Alexander for standing his ground. Aren't the politicians supposed to try to find some middle ground somewhere to at least try to make some laws? What do we have, like 15 laws on the books from this Congress so far?
Well, I mean, it's a really interesting op-ed for several reasons. First off, who knew that we had too much bipartisanship in Washington? I mean, that was my first reaction to this. I mean, I can understand, you know, these Tea Party groups going after Lamar Alexander. I mean, he is, after all, you know, an establishment Republican candidate. He's, you know, he's the type of politician the Tea Party has been going after for a long time. But I think that Lamar Alexander made some really good points in his op-ed. I mean, first off, he noted that Tennessee is one of the most well-off states in the U.S. You know, they have jobs. They have good roads. They have good infrastructure. They have a budget surplus. They're doing all right. And, you know, another thing that Lamar Alexander said is it's basic math. I mean, he knows that he's in the minority. They have 45 votes. And to get anything passed in the Senate, they need 60. So his central thesis of this op-ed was, look, I got to work with others to get stuff done. If they're Republicans, great. If they're Democrats, great. If they're working toward the same thing, it doesn't really matter. But we need 60 votes. So I can't just rely on 44 other votes to get legislation passed. And I think that was a good point.
Absolutely.
And real quick, you know, this isn't obviously one of the biggest marquee Senate races of 2014, but I think it would be really interesting if Republicans try to primary a guy like Lamar Alexander in Tennessee, who's been in office for so long. I don't know what that means for other Republicans as they head into their midterms.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. All right, Jeff Holtzman, we got to fly. Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kate. Take care.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer
also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. Hemp USA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at hempusa.org.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes?
Okay. Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
Final straight away here anyway on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. You know, we've mixed in a little politics here, talked about the $1 billion price tag on the wildfires and how awful that is. Now it's about the workers. When is too much too much? You know, I was taught when I was a kid, and probably many of you the same thing, that hard work pays off and you just keep on digging and hanging in there and working your way up the ladder and all that kind of stuff. But that's not the way the world operates now. However, there still is something about an internship and moving your way through a job, right? Tell me if you think this is fair or foul. And I know you're out there listening, so shoot me an email or give me a call after you hear this one. Can you imagine working for Bank of America as an intern and pulling three straight days of practically 24 hours? And you are 21 years old. Well, guess what happens? The kid was found dead in his shower in his flat in London. He collapsed. He collapsed in the shower. Why? And they knew this. He suffered from epilepsy, but they just drove him into the ground. And other interns said, oh, yeah, Bank of America, you work crazy hours. I mean, you can easily clock up 100 hours, 110 hours in a week. That's not unusual. Man, that is a crazy corporate culture that you have interns working 110 hours. There is a line when too much is too much. And this poor kid, Moritz Earnhardt, who worked, until 6 a.m. for three straight days, found dead. Others said that they did the same thing, that they worked crazy hours, and that they were told if they wanted the internship, there were so many other people. Where have you heard that before in a job? In fact, what are the best job lines? I'll tell you one of mine. I went to where this was a broadcasting job, and the person that wanted to hire me, they were always used to sell the benefits, but now with Obamacare, that's going to change, I think. But I can remember the person that was hiring me for a pretty big job, actually, in broadcasting, telling me that, you know what, the view. This is the most incredible view over the ballpark. You have your own, you're going to have your own parking space and the view. It's like, now I'm sorry, view does not make up for dollars. And so interns, it's the same thing. Oh, there's so many people that applied for this internship, and you, yes, you, you're so lucky. So could you please do all my work until you literally kill yourself? I mean, that is just flat out wrong. There ought to be a law, if there isn't. And we know that there are certain laws. This happened in London. Then you have fast food workers who are uniting to strike at the end of August. They want $15 an hour minimum wage. McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's. They can sell their food cheaply, is what these workers are saying, because they don't pay big wages. Or they don't say big wages, but livable wages. They want $15 an hour minimum wage and the right to form a union. Well, we know fast food is what? How much is the industry make? $200 billion? The wealthiest people I know own four McDonald's. So there is something to that. But minimum wage is set, right, and voted on. It comes out of Washington. So is it the restaurant's fault of the minimum wage not being higher for people who are using it as a real job? It used to be teenagers who did part-time jobs and, you know, your $7, $8, whatever was great. Now it's people that are in their 60s, people in their 40s. You know, the economic situations have changed. So is that fair? Should they expect to earn much more? Right now, the president has called for minimum wage to go up from $7.25 to $9 an hour. Let's ask Matt Johnson. I don't think he's run off for a soda. He's the glue of the show. Matt, are you with us? He has. He abandoned ship to go get a soda. He was the perfect guy to ask this question to. Personally, the $9 an hour, I think, is fine. But $15 an hour, if it was supposed to be a part-time job, you know, here's that tug of war over what the jobs are now. So, you know, if you want to make more money, then you go into a trade school, you learn a skill, you do something a little bit different. That's not what fast food was about. Now, having said that, sometimes managers of fast food restaurants do pretty decently. They can make pretty good money. And then it depends on the person who owns the chain. So when they have people that own a couple of them, they hire people because they want somebody in charge that can handle everything. So sometimes they'll pay more. But you know what? Pushing people past their limit. Harmony says, they will push you to the limit if they can. It's a dog-eat-dog world, but it seems people are dying younger. Seems people are dying younger. Now, here's the thing. Getting burnt out and on these jobs, you know, like I said, there has to be a line. Because then there's people, you know, you could hire someone or you could have interns that are just not worth it, who think that the world should be handed to them, I guess, and they don't work hard and they don't try to learn and they're disappointing. Well, then that's just a bad choice. But pushing someone to 110 hours is ridiculous. You know, when I lived in Spain, because I was fortunate, the exchange rate was incredible, because I by no means it was from a wealthy family. But I could make it happen, and I went abroad and did the Spanish thing. My brother swears it was to get out of math when I was in college. But I went to Spain, and over there the Spanish people used to tell me, you know, you Americans, you live to work. We live to live. And work is something that we do. And now more than ever, not just in the American culture, but in other cultures, it is that. It's like, hey, here's the 15 people that want your job. So if you can't do it, listen, we got people knocking down our door and they're going to take your gig. And because there's less jobs, because there still is no matter what the administration is saying, they can threaten that. And people, depending on their circumstance, they might have kids. They might have a situation where they got to work. That's why I've noticed at a lot of the fast food restaurants, I know it's a second and third job for somebody. There's lots of older people that are doing it. But you can get burnt out so quickly. Harmony says, got burnt out physically here. I overworked taking care of everyone. So that's the other thing that happens. Somebody shoulders all the financial burden and it's, man, it's rough. I feel awful for the friends and the family of the 21-year-old guy that was doing the internship, because they knew he had the epilepsy, but he wasn't trying to use it as a crutch and see, there you go. So that's what happened. I can imagine he was pushing. And the Bank of America, of course, released a statement where they said they were shocked and saddened by the death, and he was popular, and he was a diligent intern at the company, had a promising future, and our thoughts are with his family. You know, I would love to have a doctor who examined him be able to say, oh, this is exhaustion on top of this. So internships are supposed to be about positive things, right? Get to know the firm, all that kind of stuff. Show that you have potential. Maybe after you get out of school, you get a full-time job. Not be a slave to whatever the company is. I've had interns before, and I never would work them that way. I mean, they're not taking the place. They're not supposed to do all of your work. And unfortunately, some people adopt that kind of attitude, and I think that's what happened to this poor guy. But it's interesting, isn't it, the contrast of working and here the fast food workers saying, let's unite, we need $15 an hour, and this is ridiculous, da, 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 and what minimum wage has come, where it's come from, and how much higher it's hit. Because then the problem is, you make the minimum wage too high, you can still say, well, it's a $200 billion industry, but every restaurant and every situation is different. They're not all McDonald's that have thousands of people a week going into them, and they'll struggle to meet that minimum wage, and then the place will close and there'll be less jobs. So it's a catch-22. Any thoughts on the show? You can send them to me, americatonight.net.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.